Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to lift our pastor up to you at this time. Lord, we can never see crusades and the responses from the crowd enough just to warm our hearts to see people getting saved. We thank you for the Miles Ahead staff and all of those from this church that went up to Kelowna. We pray that you bless them. And for those 700 or so that came forward to give their lives to you, we know that this is an important Sunday for them. We pray for the churches in Kelowna that they would follow up, that these new converts would be planted in good soil. They would take root, and they'd become disciples. And so, Lord, we know that our pastors desired to be here today, and it's taken something pretty major to keep him from being in the pulpit. So we want to pray for his health. We want to pray that you would speak to him, that he would hear you clearly, and we thank you so much for him. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's begin with this. What's this? What's this? The Word of God. It's the greatest gift that we have today. I believe it's the most powerful force in the universe. And as Christians, it's very important that we just don't know the Word, but that in our minds, but that somehow the Word of God makes its way from our minds into our hearts, that we live the Word, right? We live it out. And it's very important for us as Christians to know what the Word is, how applicable it is to our daily lives. And so as a church, we have made a commitment starting in January of this year to go through the entire Bible. We know that's going to take anywhere between 4 and 5 years. And it's going to be an incredible journey that we're going to be on. We want to encourage you to keep up. I'm going to give you a warning right now. Okay, I don't know if I should be telling you this, but I'm going to give you a warning. The last Sunday of the month will be our first quiz, okay? It will take us all the way back to January. Miles wanted me to make sure I primed you for this. We were actually going to show a slide. You need to go on our webpage. You need to click that button that says quizzes so you can go back and review. Because we don't want to just know the Word. We want to be experts and scholars in the Word of God. We want to study to show ourselves approved workmen rightly handling the Word of truth. Amen? So let's get ready, giving you a couple weeks to get studied up. And then also, as Justin was saying, next week, make sure you bring a friend, come back. And Miles wanted me to emphasize that he's very excited about the message, Satan's number one weapon. And he wants to make sure you're all back and that we're ready to hear what God has to say to us through that message. And then one last announcement that I have for you is I've seen The Passion of the Christ, and I honestly believe that this movie could possibly be, depending upon how the church responds to it, could possibly be the means of a great awakening in our nation. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. But the question is that what are we going to do with this gift? And so as the Rock Church, we have gone to great lengths to give you some opportunities. First of all, today, Justin called it evangelism training. I call it passion training, okay? Both this week and next week, both at 11 and 5 o'clock, we have trainings just for you. In your bulletins, you saw a postcard size thing that says, "This is Passion." This isn't intended to be a bookmark for your Bible, okay? I've used it for a bookmark today, but it's not intended to be that. We've given this to you in order to give to someone who's not saved. That's the bottom line. You will see this movie at least twice. We encourage you to see it and experience it as a gift to you. As you sit and you watch this movie, you're going to see the evidence of God's love for you. It's powerful. You need to experience it for yourself. But I promise you, as soon as the credits, the last credits are shown, you will have this passion in you. Names will come to your mind of people that you have to contact, and you have to invite them to come. And so don't miss out on this opportunity. Now, we have 5 showings that are out that are available. I think 3 of them may already be sold out. So we want to encourage you immediately after this service to go to the tables and purchase your ticket. We're showing it Monday and Tuesday night, the 23rd and the 24th. I think those were the dates. And then also Thursday. We've reserved the theater. And so we have it for, we have opportunities to speak before and after. So if you have friends to bring, go ahead, bring them. It's going to be a great opportunity. And part of the reason we want you to consider coming to 8 o'clock is because we believe that hundreds, if not thousands, of people are going to make their way to churches after seeing this movie. And as you can see, as you look around, if they come here at this time, they ain't getting in. And so we're looking for those that you know this is your home church. You've been here for 2 or 3 years. We're going to ask you to consider coming and being a part of the 8 o'clock service so we can just fit more and more and more people in here. All right? Okay. Those are the announcements. Today, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, but before we get to that, we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 28. So if you have your Bibles, let's look at Ezekiel 28, because Genesis 3 introduces us to a serpent. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Serpent, this concept of serpent, or the word for serpent in the Hebrew, is nakish. And it literally can mean the shining one, perfect in beauty. It could be translated to hiss, to mutter, to whisper, or an enchanter. I think it's important that we know what we're up against. The devil would like you to think that he's all red, he's got horns, he's got a tail, and he carries a pitchfork around, so he's very easy to identify, right? How many have actually seen the devil in that way before? Okay? Not many. He would like you to believe that's how he appears and that's how he tempts, but that's not the case. Not at all. And we're going to see a little bit about what he looks like and how he appears, because I promise you, either he or his cohorts, you've met before. You've seen them. So let's take a look. Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning with the second part of verse 12, says, "Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you." Now let's turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14, again, beginning with verse 12. You were perfect in beauty. Whatever you imagine is beautiful, believe me, Satan was all of that. He was an angel of light. His giftings, he was one of the cherubim. He was the one that covereth. In Revelation and Ezekiel, we run into cherubim around the throne of God, one on the north, south, east, and west. But Satan, Lucifer, the devil, was the one that covereth. He was in charge of worship. His giftings were the timbrels. It's music. And if you wonder why music is so powerful, well, think about how powerful it is, both good and evil, right? Last week's service was amazing for us, and what tied it all together was music. Worship is so amazing, it brings us into the presence of God because of how powerful music is. And yet today, at least on my television, I don't know if you have Cox Cable or whatever you have, but if I put it on channel 30, you have a Sunday school lesson that's being taught to this generation. And it's called MTV. And there's a culture being spread through music. It's a powerful force. It is an incredible force. And its source goes back to Ezekiel 28. Now, let's take a look at Isaiah 14. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's going to sound very familiar. You might underline that. I will be like the Most High God. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and they will consider you, saying, is this the man? Is this the man who made the earth tremble and who shook kingdoms, who made the world a wilderness and destroyed its cities? Who did not open the house of his prisoners. Next week, Miles is going to talk about this guy, Lucifer, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, the father of lies, the murderer from the very beginning. Again, he does not appear to us in that coat of red. He's an angel of beauty. We need to be on our guards. And so look at the story as we go through it in chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent, the devil, which we just read about, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God. Remember what he said? The five I wills of the devil in Isaiah 14, I will be like the Most High. You won't die. For God knows that if you partake of this, you'll be just like God. Knowing good and evil. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. You know, I'm going to encourage you. I know I do this every time, but I want to encourage you to write out the Bible, okay? Leave yourselves margins so when you come to church, you can take notes in your Bible and you can underline it. It's an incredible, people that have done it, we have over 100 people doing it so far that have gotten these books, and I want to encourage you to do that. We're only on Genesis 3. You can get caught up. But I'll tell you what, in weeks to come, we're going to go a little bit faster, so you want to get started right away. The reason I say that is you need to underline these words. So when the woman saw that the tree was good, it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Isn't sin like that? You know what I mean? It looks so good. It's pleasant to the eyes. It's desirable. And so if I have a scale, it's good, it's desirable, it's pleasant, so why can't I do it? And it's simply because on this side of the scale, God said, you don't want to do that. Don't do that. No, you don't understand. It's good, it's pleasant, it's desirable. And God says, no, you don't want to do that because you don't know the results of that. You don't know what will happen to you if you do that. And the easy examples, obviously, in our culture is that of, does the devil come to us when he tempts us? You know, is he this red monster that's slobbering all over the place and he's sweating because he's been in hell? He's got his pitchfork and he said, I want to tempt you, little guy. I want you to become a heroin addict, okay? I want you to be in your own puke, and I want you to be in the gutter. So go ahead, let's get you hooked on heroin. That's not how he comes, does he? No. You know what it usually starts with? Ain't nothing wrong with smoking. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And you know what? The Bible even, and by the way, the devil knows the Bible better than we do, okay? Let me tell you that right off the bat. But he'll say, nothing wrong with drinking a beer here or there. In fact, the Bible even says, it just says don't get drunk with wine. It doesn't say you can't drink. Okay? Everybody else is doing it. And in fact, you know, you're kind of inhibited. And you just need to take a drink now and then to kind of loosen up. People like you better in that situation. Right? And then what's next? What's next? You know what? If we go to the prisons and we talk about prisoners and we say, how'd you get here? Believe it or not, you might think I'm crazy, but it's going to go all the way back to the first time a guy started smoking. And then he started drinking. Because you know what? Never stops there, does it? Okay? Then it's not just a beer here and there. Now it's a six-pack. And you know what? It's good to add a little. Let's add some hard stuff to that. Okay? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with pot. In fact, doesn't God say, here's the devil again, doesn't God say he made all this stuff for good? You know, it's a culture thing, man. It's a gift from God to you. And that before you know it, what happens? That's the way he works. That's the way the devil works. It's good, it's pleasant, it's desirable. But God said don't do it. It's the same thing since we've been on Leave It to Cleaver. It's the same thing about sex. Right? It's good, it's pleasant, it's desirable. Why can't I do it? God said, it is good, it is pleasant, it is desirable, and you can do it once you get married. Okay? But you can't do it until you get married. Because you don't realize what's going to happen to you unless you do it my way. So once again, I want you to understand how this enemy comes to us. He's an angel of light. There's a bit of truth to what he has to say. But how do we know when he's appearing to us and tempting us? That, my friends, is why we need to know the Bible. Because the devil even went to Jesus to tempt him. Do you know that? He appeared to Jesus to tempt him. And what did Jesus say? Did Jesus say, hey, are you forgetting who I am? I am God. I'm the creator of this universe. In fact, red guy, I created you. Right? No. He could have. He could have just went boom and him be gone. But what did Jesus do? Jesus spoke the word of God. Jesus said, "It is written. It is written." My friends, if you don't know what's written, you're going to fall. And that, again, is why we can't just be casual about this Christianity thing. It's really, I hope you come back next week, but it's really an all or nothing deal, if you know what I mean. Are you in? Are you out? Jesus doesn't leave the in-between available for choice. Well, I guess he does. What does he call it? He says, if you're lukewarm, he says, I'd rather you be hot or I'd rather you be cold. But if you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I'm going to spit you out because you're of no good. Wow. Wow. Talk about images. Can you see that? I can see that. I can see that. And so we have to make that decision. Am I in or am I out? Am I committed or am I just playing games with God? Our goal here at the Rock Church is to not just draw a crowd. It's not just to have altar calls to make converts. We are about making disciples because that's what God called us to do. And it begins by being a man or a woman of the Word of God. It starts there. We've made the commitment. Every Sunday you come, we hold up the Word of God. We say, this is our foundation. This is what we're about. Well, let's open it up, line by line, precept on precept. Let's look at what the Word has to say for us today. So, let's move on. I have to keep checking my watch because I found out about a few hours ago that I'd be preaching this morning. So, you know, I haven't been able to time this thing out, right? Verse 6, again, it's good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desirable to make one wise, but God said. And we need to know what God said. She took and ate, she gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves coverings. Fig leaves. Man's way to cover himself. Fig leaves. Man's religion. Fig leaves. Going to church. Being religious. Giving to the poor. I'm not saying that shouldn't be done with the right heart, but it doesn't win you to heaven. Fig leaves, man's way to cover himself. Keep in mind, there's only one thing that Jesus Christ cursed when he was on this earth. You know what it was? Find it interesting, he cursed the fig tree. Cursed the fig tree. In Mark 11, verse 20, and also verse 12, he cursed the fig tree. Again, religion gets you nowhere. A relationship is what it's all about. Verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam, and he said, "Where are you?" And so he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was ashamed. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And then the man said, "God, I know you told me those things, but I blew it. And I just want to take responsibilities for those actions right now. I want to stand before you and say it's all my fault. And if you could find it in your heart to forgive me, that's all I'm asking. If not, whatever the case may be, but I take responsibility for that. Well, sorry, I added to the scriptures there, because the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, he's right. It's my fault. You know, I don't know what it was, but this shining one appeared to me, and you know, but you know what? I took of the fruit and then I gave it to Adam. It's totally my fault. Could you please forgive me? Well, that's not human nature, is it? Our human nature is to do what Adam and Eve both did. Eve's response was, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. We need to take responsibility for our actions. We get saved, and that's what this is all about, by the way. We get saved when we take responsibility for our actions, don't we? We get saved when we say, God, I've sinned. I've fallen short. Can you please forgive me? That's what it's all about. How easy it is to say, it's not my fault. And actually, when you look at the heart of this, the blame they're putting right back on God. Adam said, you know what? It was a woman you gave me. Well, let's move on. We covered this last week, so we'll be through this briefly. God said to the serpent, because you've done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. You shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And last week we talked about that. And I'll tell you what, it was fatal. Jesus Christ conquered the enemy once for all on the cross of Calvary. Now, we are not denying that the serpent struck the heel and bruised the heel. And Jesus became the curse for us. And Jesus went to the cross for us. We'll never forget that. But this here is the first prophecy in the entire Bible. You might want to note that. Well, we'll conclude with this next section, which says, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. In your bulletins, I want you to turn to this section right here. We're going to conclude by seeing how Jesus fulfilled five of these things in this curse. As I mentioned last week, Jesus is in Genesis. We've seen him three times already, and today in this passage, we see the fourth. Look at, it says, let's take a closer look, and can you see Jesus? First of all, it says in verse 17, cursed is the ground for your sake. Do you know that Jesus is made a curse? In Galatians 3, verse 13, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Jesus, the Son of God, became a curse for us. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. In Isaiah chapter 53, Jesus is given this title. He is a man of sorrows. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Jesus was beaten beyond recognition. Jesus suffered for our sake, a man of sorrows. Verse 18 says, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, shall eat the herb of the field. After Jesus was beaten and scourged, the soldiers mocked him by twisting together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him with a purple robe for royalty. And then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Ichi omo." I'll give you a heads up for when you see the Passion, because it's in Aramaic and it's subtitled in English. Don't worry, you catch on real quick. But you know what those words mean? Behold the man. Mocking him, his crown being a crown of thorns. Can you see Jesus in Genesis? It goes on. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. Jesus sweated drops of blood in the garden in Luke 22. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And finally, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Verse 19. Right in the margins of your Bible, see Psalm 22. What's so incredible about Psalm 22, it was written 800 years before crucifixion was even invented. And yet, as you read Psalm 22, there's no way you can deny that that's Jesus Christ uttering those words on the cross. It's there we read, "My strength is dried up like potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth, and you lay me in the dust of death." You see, Jesus becomes a curse for us. He is the man of sorrows. He bears the crown of thorns. He sweats drops of blood, and he becomes the dust of death. One of the things that Miles has ingrained in all of us, hopefully, is what we call the soul winner, so what? All of that's great information, but so what? And what I want to challenge you to do has to do with that so what. I was reading this book today from Brennan Manning, and I came across this phrase that I can't get out of my mind, and the phrase is this: God loves you just as much as he loves his son, Jesus Christ. God loves you just as much as Jesus. God has given you this message of reconciliation. What are you going to do with it? God loves you. God did all these things for you that you could be redeemed and brought back. We're not talking revelation here. We're talking Genesis. The beginning of the book, God said, when man falls, I have a plan, because it's critical that he's redeemed and reconciled. And when God would have said the words, "Who shall I send and who will go?" It says in our favorite verse, or it should be one of our favorites, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Whose idea was it to redeem the world? It was God's. And it was Jesus that said, "I'll go. Let me go. I'll do it." And when Jesus was in Gethsemane, Jesus knew what was going to take place, and Jesus said, is there any other way? Can this cup pass from me? I don't want to go through that. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Do you know God loves you that much? Do you know that? Do you know that God loves you so much that he can't wait for you to wake up each morning? Do you know that he's by your pillow waiting for you to wake up because he created you for fellowship with him? And nothing else in creation can give him the pleasure of his sons and daughters spending time with him. Do you know that? And do you realize that all this is going to wrap up at a time that only God knows? And that it's not his will that any should perish, no, not one. And you have friends who don't know Christ today. They don't know this story. God has given this story to his people to proclaim. It's our responsibility. And so my soul winner's soul wet is to be a soul winner. Take advantage of these times. Invite someone. Go get training. We're going to help you. We're going to help you learn how to share your faith with someone. I heard this report of the movie that Mel was wanting to show it to some of his friends in Hollywood, but he didn't want it to be one of those red carpet premieres. So he invited people to come and said, there'll be no cameras. There'll be no red carpet. I just want you to see my work. The theater was packed. Within the first 10 minutes in that group, there was sobbing that could be heard. This movie is a gift from God to us as individuals so that you can understand the gifts of God to you. But it's an evangelism tool if we take advantage of it. And so, this church, we cannot be satisfied. We can't say, well, it's full. No. We'll go to 8 services if we need to. You'll all go to the 8 o'clock service, right? We need to fill this place up. And that responsibility is yours and mine. So I want to encourage you, know the message, study the word, and be used by him. Amen? Let's bow our heads. We'll have a word of prayer. The worship team will come up, and they'll sing a song as we leave. So let's pray. God, we want to thank you for the word. Genesis chapter 3. Because it's here we can see your love. And Jesus, we can see you. And we want to thank you for becoming the curse for us. And God, it's our heart's desire that what we saw in Kelowna, and by the way, friends, did you see the kids running down to the altar? It always warms my heart to see people running down to the altar to get saved. Lord, put it upon our hearts to invite our friends to come next week to hear about Satan's number one weapon. And put it on our hearts to invite our friends to experience the passion of the Christ. For God, we want to be your people. We want to be disciples. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing this last song.